Mitchell said that he told you guys this one of the first days of practice. How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
Ways I probably could have started a podcast, that had to have been the most interesting, right? That was Shea Ruffridge, sophomore wrestler at Grandview, talking about, yes, eating elephants, but it's really a larger metaphor for chasing bigger goals. The general idea is this: you have to take the first step and every step thereafter in order to get to where you want to go, right? In much the same way that you have to, quite literally, take one bite at a time if you want to consume an elephant. We're going to get a little bit more into why that is and maybe explain that a little bit better on today's show. Hey, what's up? Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Room, a wrestling podcast from the Des Moines Register. I'm Cody Goodwin, the Register's wrestling writer, and I'm glad you're here. I also have never consumed an elephant. Hopefully neither you have either, but it is Monday, December 14th, and we're going to talk a little bit about Grandview Wrestling today, episode number 63. We know Grandview as the world beaters of the NAIA, right? You guys know many of the details by now. They've won 9 straight NAIA national team titles, which is the longest national championship streak of any college team at any level. It actually matches Dan Gable's Iowa Hawkeyes, who won 9 Division I titles in a row from 1978 to 86. The Vikings have also won 9 straight NAIA National Duels titles, and they've had 17 different Viking wrestlers combine to win 30 individual national titles. That has been since 2008 when the program got off the ground, right? Just this past year, they actually had their first ever 4-time NAIA National Champion in Evan Hansen. So that was pretty cool to see. This week, though, the Vikings are taking aim at another record, the all-time record for consecutive duel victories. Grandview has won 92 duels in a row dating back to that 2013 season. State University of New York, Delhi, also won 92 in a row from 1979 to 1983. Pretty impressive that they actually won 92 straight duels in only a 4-year span. State University of New York, Delhi no longer has a wrestling program. The Vikings, like I said before, started theirs in 2008, and under the guidance of Nick Mitchell, they have become perhaps the most consistent and dominant college wrestling program over the last decade. Grandview, they're going to compete at Missouri Valley's Winter Classic Duels on Tuesday, December 15th of this week, where I believe 10 total teams are at least expected to wrestle. I'm not sure if they're all going to make the trip. I kind of hope they do for their sake so they can get some matches in. The Vikings are going to go there for a shot at the all-time mark. It's a matter of when, not if, for the Vikings. If you followed the program over the years, you know why. They'll take care of business, or they'll likely take care of business, barring some sort of miracle. Here's why. Let's go dive into the numbers here a little bit. Their run of 92 straight duel wins has spanned 8 seasons and counting, right? So 2013, that was in December of the 2013-14 season, to kind of give you a heads up there. And now we're into December of the 2020-2021 season. That's a lot of 20s there. The Vikings have won those 90 straight duel wins. They've won by an average of 37.9 points per duel. The average score over the streak has been 42.6 to 4.7. They've scored 40-plus team points 53 times out of the 92 straight, and they've broken 50 team points 29 times. They've pitched 32 shutouts, so about a third of the time the opponent didn't even win a match, and they've allowed their opponents to only score double figures just 10 total times. The most points they've allowed during the streak is 16, guys, and that was in a 31-16 win over Baker. That was on January 27th of 2018. There are literally second and third graders in Des Moines who have never seen Grandview lose a duel and have only ever seen them win national team titles. Grandview's last loss actually came on November 7th, 2013, a 22-18 loss to Iowa State. That was 2,596 days ago. Head coach Nick Mitchell can recite that entire duel from memory, and he will. Keep listening. Another fun fact about this streak is that that loss actually snapped a 26-duel win streak for the Vikings at the time, meaning Grandview has really won 118 of their last 119 duels. That seems just as absurd as 92 in a row, right? Those are the facts, though. Now we're going to get into the meat of the podcast. First up, we got an interview with head coach Nick Mitchell, and we cover a number of different topics. We talk first about what the season's been like amid the COVID-19 pandemic, some of the scheduling issues that they've kind of run into over the first month or so of the season, because the NAIA, they actually started on time. They are fully planning on running the NAIA National Championships, which I believe is March 5th through 6th, down in Wichita, Kansas. But they kind of left a lot of the scheduling up to the teams, right? So they've kind of run into a few hiccups here and there. But you know, we talked to Nick Mitchell about that because the Grandviews had their own share of hangups here in the early portion of the season. But then we also talk about the streak, kind of what their view on it. They really don't think about it all that often, to be quite honest. But it was a really fun conversation, and Mitchell always brings the heat and the passion, so I hope you guys really enjoy that. We've got the music cranking, so let's go ahead and get to the interview now with Nick Mitchell. About this season or this month and a half that you guys have actually started?
Yeah, for me, the hardest part has just been just that, you know, week to week, you know, you kind of have a plan as far as what's going to be going on, but things are changing as far as who's going to be there. Tournament locations have changed, host schools have changed. Like I said, at one point, we became a host school just out of nowhere, basically. So. That part of it a little bit, but it's been fine, really. I mean, it's really just you kind of adapt to it, and now the other part that's tough is looking ahead. Usually you kind of have a plan on who's going to wrestle at what time, you know, which guys you're going to use for each event, and right now we don't know exactly, other than our duels that are pretty set and a couple dual competitions, we don't know what January and February are really going to look like, and so we're going to kind of wing it, you know, week to week, basically.
Is that, like, frustrating knowing that these guys don't, like, have things on the calendar, like concrete things that they can look forward to?
A little bit. You know, we just talk a lot about just focus on what's directly in front, just like always, you know. And I feel like our guys, at least, have done a really good job with that. And part of it, I think we've talked about it a lot early on. You know, you can't get wrapped up too much in what's going to happen at the end. You can't get wrapped up in any year, you know, including this year. You can't get wrapped up in what's going on a month from now because that's not what's most important. We're just going to focus on today's practice. And then, you know, right now the next event is our duel with Morningside next week. And so we're focused on that. And I keep telling them, you know, after that, there's some things on the calendar that we know are going to happen or that should happen, but we're going to try to add some things too. And I think that they kind of like that because they know we're trying to find more opportunities for them to compete, you know, and so they see what's there for sure, and then they know everything else is just bonus on top of that. And so that's the best way to look at it.
100%. What's in the works?
So we've looked at possibly maybe hosting something again the first weekend in January. It's just going to see, kind of wait and see, like, who's available to do that. I know that I've talked with a couple other teams that are considering hosting things. And so we're just going to keep doing that. We're going to keep talking to different schools. We've had some things pop up that we thought sounded really enticing, and it didn't work out, you know. And so it's just I'm getting used to it, you know, really. It's just day to day. Like, it's, you can't get your heart set on something too much because it's going to change probably.
Yeah. So that means, I mean, really a lot of these guys, like, the next thing in front of them is a lot of practice.
Yep.
How do you kind of break that up or keep them, you know, kind of in tune on the bigger picture?
Yeah, it's funny. Last week we talked about, I asked the guys if they've ever heard the phrase, how do you eat an elephant? You know, it's just one bite at a time. And that's what it is. And every year is like that. And we were talking about that in terms of school. I know some guys get close to finals. This is finals week for us. All of a sudden, anybody who's been through college knows it all hits at once. You know, you've got papers, you've got tests, you've got final exams, you have presentations, and it just seems like this giant elephant that you have to eat all at one time. You just start with that first bite, you know, and then you chomp away from there. And that's really what the season is right now. You know, again, if you look at it too far, any year, I mean, wrestling season is long. And I think that sometimes is what gets the best of guys. And when they look at it at this, like, this big, long thing, with sometimes it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, it's the guys that just focus on the next bite then it's really manageable that way. And so that's what we're doing. And just randomly, I'll remind these guys, like, hey, today's the most important practice of the year. You know, and early on, they're like, why? And I'm like, because it's today. It's the only thing we can control right now. And so then, you know, they kind of have that mindset now too. And so it's they've done really well with it, really. I've been pretty happy about it.
Yeah, seems like just the way you guys are approaching this season, it seems like an easy way to maybe not focus on the next big thing that you guys are, you know, seemingly about to do, right? The all-time college wrestling dual meet record.
Yep.
It doesn't sound like you've thought about that at all.
No, not really. I mean, I shouldn't say I haven't, because it's been talked about, you know, but we never really thought about it ever. We never talked about it. We still don't talk about it. I mean, we don't talk about it with the team. And it's not any reason because it's like, oh, you're afraid to jinx it or anything like that. It's just because it has no impact on the performance, you know, and it's probably part of why we're in this situation to begin with, because we've never looked at any of it that way. We've never looked at the national tournament streak as a streak. We've never looked at the dual win streak as a streak. Again, we just focus on the next one. And so you basically compete, and then you reflect on it, and you see where you need to get better, and you just start planning, you put that plan into action, and then you compete again, and then you just go on, and you do that, and you just understand that every event, you know, it's always important, but it's nothing's more special than the last thing, and then the same thing at the end of the year, you know, whether it's a dual meet that's gonna maybe possibly set the all-time record, or it's the national dual championships, or it's a regular match against a guy that's not very good, or it's a match where you walk up on the stage and you compete for a national championship. As long as you have the same mindset all the time, that's how you find consistency, you know. And we've been consistent for a long time, and it's because of that mindset, really.
100%. So we're assuming that this duel on the schedule is going to stick.
Yeah.
we're hoping, at least.
Yep.
So you guys go through that, and if you're able to take care of business, that is going to be a big deal. Like, I know it hasn't happened yet, so it's probably hard to think about, but like, that's kind of cool that you guys are at least, you know, in the position to do that, to set a record that's been standing for what, 40 years?
Yeah. Yeah. It is cool. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's fun, man. You love being part of anything that's record setting. You know, and again, like up until that point, we're just going to approach it like we always do. It's not, you know, again, you don't get up for it because it's something bigger. You just get up for it because it's the next thing. And so we're going to approach it the exact same way we always do. But yeah, it'll be, and it's not cool just because for this duel, even it's cool to, the other day, you know, we use a system where guys can watch film, and you know, they can get on, and anybody can get on wherever they have internet access, but it has archives in there since the like 2010 season or something. And one of my guys, he went back and he watched some of the 2012 National Dual Meet Championship duels. That was the first year we won the national duels. And it's fun, you know, and all of a sudden I found myself watching a few of those matches. And it's just a reminder of how many guys, you know, since really I think 2014 is when the dual streak started, is how many guys have been part of that over the years, you know. And that's, to me, is what the cool thing about it is. It's not just this team this year and this next duel. It's about how many guys have put work into that, how many guys represented us in one of those duels. And that's really what this represents, is all those guys, you know. And you're proud that those guys all have a piece of it.
Yeah, for sure. I think the last loss was the 13-14 season, I think, that December to Iowa State.
Yep.
Do you remember that at all?
I remember all of it, yeah, for sure. We lost, man. Of course I remember it. Yeah. So I remember everything about that duel. I don't remember most of them, but I remember that. So, yeah, I mean, there was some scraps in that duel. You know, I know that, you know, we had a couple younger guys in the lineup. Actually, our women's coach, Coach Crinzy, was in the lineup for us that year. Didn't get the win, so I still give him a hard time about that. But yeah, I mean, we won a really close match at 41. We pulled out a pin at 49. Got pinned at 57. Our assistant coach, Chad Lohman, lost a really close match to Michael Marino at 65. 74, Jimmy Schuessler upset Weatherman. And those guys grew up together, and Schuessler was like fifth in the state, and Weatherman was ranked nationally in the country, and so that was a huge win for us. We lost 84 in a tight match we probably could have won. 97, we got beat by Kyvan, and probably fortunately for us, Kyvan was pretty banged up at the time, so it was just a decision. And then at heavyweight, we got a pin, but it wasn't enough. We lost 22-18, so I remember all of it, every single thing, man. So Loman was this close to getting the takedown against Moreno, and it ends up getting taken down, and that's a huge swing. And then, of course, a lot of people know Brandon Wright was supposed to make 133 and missed it by a half pound, and I'm confident he would have won the match. So.
I was going to say, you win one of those matches, that's a six-point swing.
It is, man, it is, yeah.
Already set the record at this point.
That's right. Yeah, we're not even talking about it, so, yeah.
I know you kind of touched on it a little bit here, just all the different guys that have worn the Grandview singlet, but yep. Just is there one memory or something that sticks out as you kind of think back to the last, what, eight seasons and counting now?
Yeah, I mean, that is one that sticks out because, I just remember being after that duel, we were pretty fired up as far as not in a positive way, just we were fired up with the guys because – we felt like we could have won the duel, but we felt like we were going to use that as a springboard, and I think a lot of people looked at it as, hey, you got, you're an NAIA program and you wrestled a close duel with Iowa State, who's, a perennial powerhouse, one of the best teams historically, and people want to pat us on the backs for that, and we just weren't satisfied with it, and I think it really set a tone for our guys that year and for the future to know, it's just the expectation is going to be different than what maybe everybody else has expectations for us. And so, from there it was the expectation. And even now, the cool thing is the guys just know what the expectation is. And sometimes our guys have even higher expectations than I think they do, and that part's been fun just to watch those guys set the bar a lot higher than maybe we thought it could be when we started this thing.
Yeah, is there a celebration if you guys are able to take care of business against Morningside? Or
I don't think so. We're on the way home, we'll probably stop at like Subway or something, and eat dinner and then go home and we'll practice the next day. That'll be fun. Looking forward to that. So
get an extra cookie or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, no cookies. No, no. We're trying to win the next one, man. There's another duel after that. So, and that's the thing, because this year we don't have the national duels, and. That's an awkward thing about the national duels for us is it's in January, and usually, so we've won the last nine national duel championships, and there is no celebration in the middle of the year. You feel good on the bus ride home, and that's it, and then you get back to work, and the goal is always to try to widen the gap after that. And so, this year we've got this duel with Morningside, and then if nothing else pops up between now and then, we've got another double duel down at Central Methodist, who's in our conference, and then Lindsey Wilson is there, and they're a really good program. And so we have to get ready to go again. There's no time to celebrate. And at the end of the year, we don't want to be celebrating that we broke some record that maybe only a handful of people even know about, and then you don't win a championship because you're too busy celebrating something in January. So we're going to celebrate by just getting back to work.
Okay, hopefully the elephant thing at the top of the podcast makes a little bit more sense now that Nick Mitchell has kind of explained it. I always find it super cool to put neat stuff that I find in interviews at the top and the bottom of each podcast like that. But this one, probably the first time I could have used a little bit more context to maybe explain a little bit of what they were talking about. Hopefully it makes a little bit more sense now that you've heard it straight from Mitchell. Also, I double-checked Mitchell's memory from that 2013 duel against Iowa State. And it was actually scary how accurate it was. He nailed it. A small window kind of into the fascinating mindset of a high-level wrestling coach right there. Got two more interviews for you guys lined up for today's podcast, and we're going to put them back-to-back here to round out the show. First, you're going to hear a conversation with Shay Ruffridge, sophomore from Pocahontas area originally, and he's currently ranked number 2 at 133 pounds for Grandview in the latest NAIA poll. Then you're going to hear from Kendon Lee, who's a senior, and he's also ranked 2nd, but at 141 pounds. Shay offered some good perspective about it's kind of the length of the streak, since he's a younger dude on the team, and he wasn't even in high school yet when the streak actually began. So I asked him a little bit about that and what it's like to kind of contribute to it, because I know that Nick Mitchell, one of the things he said was really cool about the streak was just the number of people that have come through over the years and have kind of kept the streak alive, right? You know, then we talked to Lee, who is a senior, and he made me laugh out loud when we were talking about the streak, because he's so insulated in that championship lifestyle mindset that he actually didn't even know the streak had reached 92 in a row. So that was kind of a funny moment. You guys are going to hear that. Both interviews I thought were a lot of fun, and I think you guys are going to enjoy them as well. So let's jump to that now. First Shay, then Kendon Lee. So, like, you guys are approaching another record. That seems like old hat by now. Do you guys think about that at all? Or is it just kind of like, cool, a duel against Morningside next week?
I mean, yeah, it's more so just other people talking about it. We're not really focused on that type of stuff. We're just trying to get better and becoming the best wrestlers we can be.
100%.
Yeah.
2013, December, you'd have been in high school, right?
Yeah, probably. Maybe middle school.
It's
a long time ago.
Do you remember anything from 2013, 2014?
That's a long time ago. Thinking back, I would have been 13 years old. Yeah, I don't know.
That was the last time Grandview lost a dual meet. So, and if you ask your coach, he's able to rattle off every single match from that duel. So, they lost to Iowa State, I think?
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing a video about that this year.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's on Twitter.
Okay. So you probably have no recollection of that duel, or probably didn't even plan on watching it or anything like that?
No, not a chance. Probably didn't even know what Grandview was. If I'm being 100% honest.
I guess one of the cool things about the streak is that, and I know you guys don't talk about it, but just like it's spanned, 8-plus seasons now? And so there's been hundreds of you guys that have, you know, represented Grandview in the process of this streak getting to where it is now, winning all these national titles, individual accolades, things like that. How cool is it to have played, you know, a small role? Because you're just a sophomore, right?
Yeah, redshirt sophomore.
Yeah. So, I mean, a small role, but a role nonetheless in getting, you know, Grandview to where it's at right now. I mean, is that cool to think about? You probably haven't thought about that either.
I think it is cool, yeah. Just, like, carrying on the tradition that guys way before me, guys from 2013, they started this, you know, and it's 2020, almost 2021 now, and we're still carrying that torch, and we're trying to do the same thing they did. You know, we're trying to keep this thing rolling however we can, so...
100%. It's written everywhere, and I know Mitchell says it all the time, but like championship lifestyle, right? When did that finally sink in for you?
I'd say it wasn't my redshirt year, but the year after, so it would have been last year where I was like, okay, you know, it's worked here for a while, so it's time to start buying in. You know, the redshirt year, I did all right, but I wasn't 100% bought in. I was just, I would say going through the motions, but I wasn't 100% bought in, but... Last year, I knew I had a shot at the lineup, so I really just locked in and did everything I could to live the championship lifestyle. And, I mean, it works, clearly.
100%. Well, I mean, hey, your redshirt year, there's not like a lineup spot, right, for you.
Correct,
like
it's, yeah.
The goals shift a little bit when you're, like, eligible, right? Or at least when coach pulls the shirt.
Yeah, I mean, there's the determination, I guess you could say. Like, once you know you have a chance at it. Mentally, I just got locked in. I was like, all right, let's do this.
100%.
Yep.
So you don't know much about Grandview, if anything at all, in 2013. When did you start to realize that, like, oh, hey, like, this little school in Des Moines is, like, you know, like they're world beaters?
I mean, when they started recruiting me, I think Reedy was the one who gave me a call, and I was like, all right. I did a little research on them, and they were good. You know, I can't remember how many it was at the time. It was like, you got that streak going. It's like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And, you know, when I came here for my visit, I had some D1 interests, you know, but Mitchell told me, and this really stuck with me, he goes, individually, I think you'd feel the same way winning a NCAA title as you would winning a NAIA title. So, I mean, that stuck with me. And obviously, NCAA is a lot bigger, and guys are probably better, but I think he's right. It feels the same. You're winning.
100%. Well, and that, I mean, part of what I think Grandview's been able to do is maybe raise the overall level of NAIA, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Like the fact that they've given everybody else something to chase.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if you guys have felt that or what. This is your third year in the program, so I don't know if maybe you've seen that as much, but it seems like NAIA is getting a lot better and a lot more exciting. And
I agree.
You know, like the one year I guess it's in 2-year increments. So I guess the second year that it was in Des Moines a little while ago, I was able to actually finally watch it. And it was just like, yo, like there are some dudes at this level, right? And then you see it every year at like juniors and U23s, and you know, it's like they splash on the freestyle side, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to me, there's good guys at all levels. So I don't really get wrapped into the whole D1, D2, D3, NAIA, even JUCO. They have their studs, you know, there's studs everywhere. So
100%. Is it going to mean anything to you guys or even to you personally? You know, we're assuming that next week's duel is going to stick, right? That we're not going to have to postpone it or reschedule it.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
But, you know, you guys go to Morningside, take care of business. You set this record. Is it going to mean anything? I mean, Mitchell said that you guys are just going to get on the bus, come back home. But, like, there's got to be some pride there, right, if you guys are able
to do it? Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to mean something. But then again, it's just another duel. It's going to be a record-setting duel, but to us, it's just another duel. And after that, we're going to keep chasing the car. That's kind of our motto. We're just going to keep going and going after the next thing.
I think like the idea that I was getting at, if I remember right, was that like there's, you guys are so used to like having things on the schedule, right? You know, looking forward to this duel, looking forward to this tournament, you know, things of that nature. It's kind of touch and go this year. How weird is that? I guess that's the question, because that's, you know, you're not used to that, right?
Yeah, it's really strange. You know, things never really fall through. You know, but like our first tournament we were supposed to have, I think we were playing even with COVID before the season started, like 10 teams there or something, and then it comes and it turns into just like a little dual meet, and then our tournament, we had like 4 teams show up, and then we had a dual tournament that was supposed to be in Nebraska, it got canceled, and then we ended up just doing like a 3-way duel here at our place, and then like we had a duel that's supposed to be tomorrow that got canceled. So it's super strange, because you're used to, you know, these set dates is kind of how you're programming, you know, your schedule, you know, your workout routine, you know, your eating habits, you know, and wrestlers are kind of like creatures of habit, you know, so we kind of thrive on that habit, you know, getting in a routine. So it's definitely really strange, but at the same time, we say here, everything is the most important thing. So if we have practice today, that is the most important thing we have going on right now, because it's the only thing that we can control. We can only buy into what we're doing right now. So I think that is like super important to navigating through this, because if you look at what's right in front of you right now at the moment, and that's the most important thing, and you put all your focus and energy into it, then it's all going to work out in the end.
100%. How much has that maybe helped, you know, because God willing, the dual meet next week sticks, right, and we actually have it?
Yeah.
How much has that helped, you know, I don't want to say distract you, but maybe not think about the fact that the next dual victory is like the next, you know, it's the all-time record for collegiate dual victory win streak, right? Like
I didn't even know that.
That so. Just speaks to the program, the fact that you didn't know that.
It's irrelevant, you know? And it's kind of like rankings and everything, you know, a lot of other people from the outside put a lot of stress on it. Like, I think of rankings, and because rankings is only somebody else's opinion of what they think you're capable of.
Yeah.
And only you know what you're capable of, you know. I mean, there's a certain, you know, degree of sense that goes into it, you know, logic and everything, but nobody knows. And, like, if you start focusing on the goals like that, you know, like, oh, this is going to be the 10th national title in a row. Like, you think when you come to Grandview, it's like, okay, we're automatically going to win a national title. It's like, no, none of that matters, because that's in the past. You know, all that matters is what's right in front of you, so you have to focus on that.
Yeah.
If that kind of answers your question.
100%, yeah. No, Mitchell likes to say a lot, you know, like, you guys have won 9 in a row, but you haven't won the 2021 national championship.
Yeah, we've done nothing this year. We've won a few duels this year and a few tournaments. That's it. That's all we've done.
Yeah. So you really had no idea that the next duel win is Grandview's, like, 93rd in a row?
No, I didn't. That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
Well, now, I mean, now that I say that out loud, like, do you have any initial thought on that?
Last year, after the national tournament, we have, like, a little banquet right after at the hotel. And what I said was, the coolest part about being here is, like, I get to be part of this fan's legacy. You know, my name gets to go underneath his in some of the record books that'll, you know, go down for forever. And that's just kind of another thing. That's another part of his legacy that I get to be a part of, and I get to help him accomplish.
100%.
So that's kind of, it's pretty cool.
Badass.
Making history.
What, how old were you in 2013?
2013. I'm 21 now, so it's 2020, so 7 years ago, I was 14.
Okay. So you...
That freshman like, in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the last time Grandview lost a duel.
Really?
December 2013. They lost a barn burner to Iowa State.
That's insane.
If you go ask Mitchell, he can rattle off all 10 matches.
Yeah, I talked to him about the duel. We lost by like 3 points or something.
Yeah,
like that, huh?
It was something weird. Like, because there were a couple matches that came down to the wire, and they had some bonus, and you guys had some bonus, and a couple upsets. And
yeah.
It was, yeah. Like, that's how long it's been, though. Like, that's...
insane. He's got it figured out. He's got a method, I guess, that works.
100%.
Gets us all to buy in. It's the culture here. The culture here is amazing. Whenever you're here, you don't want to be anything less than great, you know, because you're surrounded by all these other guys that are trying to be great, so it makes it just easy to make the right choices, I think.
For sure. Well, yeah, because you see, you know, the pictures on the wall, the list of the All-Americans every year, all the banners.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you guys all got rings last year, and, mm-hmm. you know, Mitchell's got his collection and his... you know, he's got his little collection in his office.
Yeah, it's like nine of them. It's awesome.
Well, the first time he showed them to me, he was just like, yeah, there's room for more, though. I was like, dude, like.
There's always room for more. I love it. Great mindset.
So I asked Shay the same thing. I mean, you see all of these accolades everywhere, and kind of like you said, you know, you don't want to be anything less than the best that you can be, or, you know, reach the most that you're capable of reaching. Championship lifestyle, it's written right behind you.
Yeah.
When did that sink in for you? Like, when did you finally realize, you know, oh, hey, this is what it takes. It's going to take a little bit more to do what I want to do here.
I thought I had it figured out coming into last year, because off my sophomore year, I got in second, you know, and I thought... At that time, I had done the most right that I had ever done before, you know, and I thought that was going to be enough. And then I got here and, you know, championship lifestyle. I was kind of like, I started seeing all this greatness. I was like, you know, I'm going to buy into it, you know, but I didn't buy into it 100%. You know, I think there was like one or two aspects, like my nutrition. Like, I ate healthy, but I wasn't on the meal plan, you know, eating as much as I could, fueling right. My sleeping habits weren't good, you know. So I think this year I'm just kind of realizing that I got to buy in all the way. You know, so I think last year, I thought I had it figured out, you know, a year ago, but I think this year, I hope I got it figured out.
Yeah. Well, how much is this year maybe, you know, it's almost kind of forced you to emphasize on details like that because, you know, one slip up one way or the other and, you know, you guys might not get to wrestle or they might have to, you know, the program gets paused or, you know, things like that. I mean, just because it seems like it's such a tight rope to walk this year because of everything that's going on.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I've had some thoughts about it, and it's kind of been like, you know, scary and, you know, kind of a daunting thing to look at because that can be a really big demotivator. You know, like we're not even gonna have a national tournament. You know, like if you start thinking like that, then everything else starts to fall off. You know, so those thoughts have been in my mind a couple of times, and every time I just kind of try to, you know, not gonna quit thinking like that. You know, that it doesn't matter if you gotta have a national tournament or not because I don't know. I can't control that. The most important thing is what I'm doing right now. It's what I can control. The next thing is the most important thing.
Yeah, and if you take care of business, when the national tournament does show up, you guys will be ready.
Yeah, I can't wait until 2 weeks before. I'm like, okay, it's official. Now it's time to buy in, you know? It's too late by then.
Yeah, if you start then, you're already way behind.
Yeah.
Big thanks to the folks at Grandview, Nick Mitchell, Shay Ruffridge, Kendon Lee, and the entire coaching staff and the wrestlers for letting me come spend a little bit of time with them. Again, Grandview is going to wrestle Tuesday at Missouri Valley. It looks like it's shaping up to be a pretty fun dual tournament if it goes off without a hitch. 10-team tournament. I haven't seen the format yet, but I know the Vikings' first win of the day will be number 93 in a row, and that will set the new all-time consecutive dual meet wins record. Pretty cool, and also kind of absurd that Grandview is even in this position. But that's today's show. Guys, if you've made it this far, whether this was your first episode or you've been with us from the very beginning, thank you so much for listening. You can catch In the Room on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and now Omni. Like I said on the last show, we've jumped ship from SoundCloud to Omni, so be sure to catch every episode on whichever one of those fills your podcast listening needs. If you liked what you heard on this episode of In the Room or in past episodes, do me a favor and hook me up with those 5 stars and some kind words in the review section. It makes me look good in front of my editors, and I would greatly appreciate the gesture. Don't forget to follow your boy on Twitter at Cody Goodwin, that's CodyGoodwin. You could drop me a line if you got any questions, comments, concerns, or suggestions. You could also just say, hey, what's up, hello, if you'd like. Be sure to also subscribe to the Des Moines Register for all your updates, news, and analysis on wrestling in the state of Iowa. You can find a link to do just that, as well as stories from this past week in the show notes. That's all I've got for this episode of In the Room. Thanks again for listening. I will catch you guys again soon. Last question I had for you. I know Mitchell said this. He said it earlier in the season, maybe one of the first practices, but how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time. That's it. One bite at a time.
That cracks me up.
Yeah.
That cracks me up.